Yeah, I'm
Nice.
still actively watching the end of Fright Night Dynamite here.
Oh.
I have the women's tag team match on currently. I don't know if this is the main event.
The
I
main
wouldn't.
event, yeah, is the four way.
Oh, okay. Yeah, then there's another match after this one then, because this is just the Sisters of Sin against Jamie Hayter and Queen Aminata.
Okay. Well, we'll let you watch. So I got something I got to talk about here. Have you ever seen any of the Universal monster movies?
At some point, probably.
Okay.
Like, I
So,
don't know which ones. I do know that that's kind of a thing.
yeah. So I'll start with the good. Like, they're all pretty good except for one. And, like, all right, so if you, I don't know if you remember, right? Bride of Frankenstein, right? The movie's called Bride of Frankenstein. So when you texted me, it's like, hey, I'm getting ready to set up. All right, cool. Give me 20 minutes, right? Guess who still hadn't shown up? The Bride of Frankenstein. The movie is an hour and 10 minutes long. This monster doesn't show up until the last 10 minutes. And all she does is throw her arms around, kick her head around like she's miscalculating, you know, like the computer shutting down. Sees Frankenstein's monster, screams, and then Frankenstein, like the monster, comes to his senses and blows everybody up. The end. I was like, wait, this is called The Bride of Frankenstein. So I'm like, these things, like, it was, I enjoyed it. But it was also like they tried to humanize the monster, so they gave, like, you would have loved this part. He finds a blind guy in the woods, of course, and the blind guy's like, here, drink. Gives him wine or something. He's like, oh, oh. And then he goes, smoke. It's not a cigarette, dude. I don't care. I don't care. For the time, they clearly can't. I mean, I guess they didn't care. This thing does not look like a cigarette. Frankenstein's all, or the monster's all angry and stuff. And then as soon as he smokes, he goes, good. Smoke good. I'm not exaggerating that whatsoever. And I was
Oh
like,
my
wait,
God.
what's going on?
I am 100% ready to watch a Bride of Frankenstein
It's
now,
good. It's
just
good.
for this nonsense.
So, yeah, that's exactly what it was. Well, and then, so like
Oh
that's
my
just like
gosh.
it's more the aesthetic. There's a lot of funny, like unintentional funny stuff.
Oh.
Like this one girl's just
Yeah.
screaming in his face, screaming his face. He just picks her up and just throws her in a well. Just kidding, not a well. The remnants of the castle from the first one. I just started laughing. She wouldn't stop screaming, so he just picks her up and throws her to her death. So then we watched Dracula. Of all the ones we've watched outside of the one I'll get to, Dracula is the weakest one. I thought that was strange because that was the first
Oh
one.
wow. Yeah,
So,
'cause is that like Bela Lugosi
yes.
Dracula? Okay.
The famous one you always see, you know, like the light on the eyes and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And then we watched Frankenstein. That was fine. And then
'Cause
I'm looking over.
Wolfman's in there, is it
Yeah,
not?
Wolfman's a good one too. That one's
Yep.
tough. Like, there's a lot of the Wolfman had some goofy stuff. Like, so the guy, the Wolfman, he saves or tries to save this lady from being eaten by the Wolfman. So of course, you know, werewolf, it bites you, you become the Wolfman. That's how it works, right?
Oh,
Well,
yep.
so he beats this dog to death with his cane, and it has a wolf, a werewolf on like the handle of the cane. It's clearly his cane. Well, of course, when the guy dies, he turns back into a human being, so they think he murdered him. So they go to the castle. Everyone's got a castle, by the way. And
It is convenient how many castles were around for these monster movies.
I didn't realize they were all in England or around those parts. None of them in America. So I was like, oh, that's different.
Oh.
I mean, I guess Transylvania. But
Yeah, I guess I
so
always assume Transylvania.
of like the ones that don't hold up, definitely this one, because they go to the castle with the sheriff, can't remember what he was, and
The sheriff from Nottingham.
he goes, is this your cane? He goes, you know it's my cane. It's got the werewolf on it. He goes, we found this at the murder scene. He goes, are you implying I killed this guy? The other guy intervenes, like, no, we're just asking you a question. We just found it at the scene. Here you go. And they handed it back to him. Was like, what? Is this what? So we could never trust the criminal justice system. Oh, okay. So, and it's.
There are things like that pointed out that were happening in like the 20s
Oh,
when those things were recorded. Like, oh, yep.
I mean, dude, there's so many weird things in the Wolfman. The best one so far is the Invisible Man. That actually is good. It
Oh,
holds
okay.
up. But this, like, they've established that the reason he goes crazy is not because he's invisible, it's because of the chemical he used. It's some plant in India or something that slowly fades the pigment of everything. So you basically turn invisible. So, anyways. But it makes you go crazy. This dude starts talking about power, how he's going to take over the world, and he just starts killing people for no reason. It's the funniest damn thing. But he derails a train.
Oh my God.
He breaks into like the rail yard and like the switch box, kills that guy, pulls the lever, and this train is just going around the bend, and also just goes and it takes a hard left and just goes right over a cliff. And there were like 100 people died in it. I was like, this is 1941? Like, wow. And then,
Terrorist back in the 40s there.
yeah. And then the Phantom of the Opera.
No.
I got lied to. So when you think of the Phantom of the Opera, you think of the one really ugly dude. Was it Lon Chaney, I believe? Like it.
Yes.
Yeah, that's not the Universal Phantom of the Opera. That is a silent film from 1927. I had no idea. So, well, interesting choice of words. Color me surprised when the movie is in color. And I was like, what is this?
Oh.
It's a fucking opera. I
Oh.
know it says Phantom of the Opera. It
Yeah,
is basically an opera the whole time. So there's two problems here. The guy sucks anyways. He's just some fat dude that barely is even, he has a scar on like this side of his face. Okay. And then it's
Yeah,
an
it's not
opera.
even really horrendously disfigured in any way,
No.
just a single scar.
It's like, it's just this side of his face is like severely burned. Cool. It's not that bad. And I hated every, I don't like musicals. I just don't. They're stupid. And an opera is far worse than a musical. There is operas.
I had to go to a few operas back in the day. The
They
ex-wife's
are.
sister was in the opera, so
I'm not saying the people singing aren't talented. I'm saying operas are repugnant. They're dumb. You're sitting there, you can't understand what they're saying. I don't care if it's in Italian. I don't care. I need to go to the bathroom. 15 minutes later, they're done with one note on the first word. Holy shit, who enjoys this stuff? This is stuff for a much far gone era. Holy God. I'm just sitting there like, I can't believe I'm sitting here watching this. And she's just laughing at me the whole time. She goes, we can turn it off. And I'm like, no, it's all right. Nope. You want to watch it? And my foot, like, I was trying
just
not to say
tapping.
anything. I just didn't want to say anything and ruin her enjoyment of the movie. So she said my foot was going like this. Just constantly going back and forth, back and forth. And she goes, we can shut this off. I'm like, what? No, I'm fine. She goes, your foot is going to wear a hole in the table. I'm like, oh, all right. So then I had to sit there watching this piece of shit and just going, just trying to sit still, trying to sit still. It's so bad. It's so bad. Honestly, the only musicals I like are by the South Park guys because they're funny, they're topical, and they're crass. So I'll get behind that. And they're quick too. The songs will go on for 15 minutes for hey, let's go to Oklahoma. Oh, Oklahoma is, oh God, shut up. Just shut the fuck up.
I definitely saw Oklahoma
I've
back in
seen
the
that
day,
too. Yeah.
in the Kent State days. I wouldn't that that would not have, because we did a lot of plays and musicals there to get some not continuing education. What the hell was it?
Liberal arts or
Liberal arts,
whatever. Something credit.
CEU, liberal arts credits or whatever they were called.
Yeah.
General credits.
Yeah. And plays are fine. You know, a play can just be bagged because you don't like the acting, you don't like the theme, whatever else, right? But just a musical is literally a 20-minute sketch that is broken out into 5 hours because they insist on singing everything. Oh, how's your day going? Well, let me tell you about this. No, stop. Just imagine if that was real life. In the middle of this show, we just start singing about wrestling. Everyone would just click it right off. It has nothing to do with the fact that we can't sing that well. It has everything to do with, like, this is stupid. Just
Well, I don't know
talk the words out.
how well viewed was the old Chris Jericho MJF singing segment. I'm not saying reviewed. That's different than viewed.
I don't know.
Do not remember the numbers that did or did not do.
Ugh.
But that's the last musical within wrestling that I can think of.
Didn't MJF do another one after that? In all seriousness, didn't he do one by himself?
He might have done one by himself after that.
Yeah, man alive. We got one more to go, and that is the Creature from the Black Lagoon. And I think that's it. So, oh no, The Mummy. We have not watched The Mummy. I just realized that. But it's cool. All these movies are only like 1 hour and 10. But of course, the one I couldn't stand was 1 hour and 35 minutes.
Yeah, I remember. I feel like Creature from the Black Lagoon was one where the New York station that we got back in the fine city of Altoona, Pennsylvania, had that on, and you got those 3D glasses that had the red and the blue
Yep.
tint on them, and we watched Creature from the Black Lagoon. On whatever it, 'cause I know it wasn't pirated, because that's what I always know about Crazy Eddie, and other people that aren't from the East Coast just look at me strange, because he sold TVs out of New York City, and we just I don't know why, but it was the only station that it was out of New York City that we had in Altoona, but it was like one of the like 12 stations that we had for a while, so I watched a lot of shit on there. I remember actually having watched one of the movies that later ended up being on MST3K, so that gave me a good laugh when
Yeah,
that one came up on that show, 'cause it was the one where oh, the worms like take over the world or something wild like that. It's a horror flick too. I'm trying to remember. I definitely would have to look that up, because I do not remember offhand.
Yeah, I there's so many of those old movies that are like that. It's just like And then MST3K would always pick up on it. Kind of missed that show, but I don't know if I can sit through, like, it's funny how that show, like,
It's called Squirm.
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Actually remember that one.
76. Yeah. Yep.
76, but the movies look like they're from the 50s. That's always the appeal of those bad ones. Like, the budget was so minuscule that everything just
Oh,
looks terrible.
this is definitely it.
Squirm. Let me look that up.
Why is it only a 4.9? Come on, people. Get your shit together.
There it is.
Oh man, but yeah, that was a fun one.
Yep. Yes. Killer Mutant Earthworms.
Yep.
I remember this.
Yeah, because that was on that rando New York station that we got back in the day there. But then yeah, it ended up being on MST3K. So
I'm
that's
looking at pictures from it, and like the worm, I'm sorry, the squirms, visual effects aren't that bad. Like, you
no.
know?
No, they had a lot of worms.
Oh yeah,
They had
there's one of the killer ones in the water.
a
Yeah. Okay. I'm gonna
comment.
sound really dumb right now. Where the hell you get that amount of worms from? You
Oh,
know?
that's what I was thinking. Like, I'm like, this is just a shit ton of worms. Because I mean, it looks like they, it doesn't look like a stock film. Like they are showing more of it on IMDb than I expected.
Yeah.
And yeah, there's a lot of scenes with a lot of worms that obviously were not CGI'd in.
No, like I
And
love
it
the picture
doesn't
of him
look
coming
like
out of the
it's just
shower head.
repeating video either. Like sometimes you can always catch where it's just like, oh, they're using the same clip over and over again.
Yeah.
And they do not appear to be doing that.
There isn't a fuckable person in this cast. That's always another great sign. And everyone's ugly.
Gosh.
Get away with so all right, never
Yeah,
mind. I take it back. There's one.
that was a long ass trailer that I just watched. Like for a movie that's a buck 32, I feel like I just watched 2 minutes of it as we talked about it. Like,
Yeah.
holy smokes.
Well, this was rated R, right? Whoops. No, that's not it.
B horror. How dare you, sir? How dare you, IMDb administrator?
Yeah.
Where does it say? Oh, this had to have been 76 would have been before ratings.
No.
Oh, PG. I missed it. It's right under the
Well,
squirm.
that's
Jiminy
great,
Christmas.
really?
Yes.
Well, that is insanity. So yeah, since 1968. So
Oh, 68. Okay.
I'm looking at these pictures. This was a PG movie. That's awesome. There used to be nudity and like people saying the F word all the time in movie in PG movies too. It's no wonder we are the way we are. We got in on
Well,
the tail end of all the great stuff.
oh yeah, there's always stuff that I'm shocked because I do think that I watched in my youth. I'm surprised that somehow we slid it past my parents. Just like Police Academy is on that list. Like
Yes.
the amount of boob in that movie
Well, that was rated
is,
R. Police
yeah,
Academy
that's
1 was
why I
rated R,
still
yeah.
don't understand how we got that watched in our household. Really confused. Because there is not a PG version of that movie.
No. Well, do you remember back in the day, they used to show like tits on TV. So I will never forget this. Channel 19 and when I was in Stowe, Ohio. They would have, and it would always be at night, like 8 o'clock at night. They would show the unedited versions of like Animal House, Halloween,
No,
something
okay.
like a few others. And that's why I never understood. Like I had seen like NBC, which was I don't even know what station it was in Detroit, it was Channel 4. They would show Animal House and you'd see all this stuff. You just see like the edited version, right?
Yeah.
And then I'm watching it in Ohio and I'm like, wait, what's this? Like the girl goes to take her bra off when Belushi's looking through the window. One of the most hilarious peeping Tom scenes ever because he is just slapping as hard as he can that ladder on the house. And no one comes to the window to look like, what's that noise? But,
Yeah, that should have been a little more concerning to the people that were on the inside of the house.
And then she just comes to the window takes her bra off and it shows her tits. And I was like, wait, what? I had no idea. So, of course, I was hooked. Like, I'm watching this station all the time. Like, even Halloween, like, there were so many people getting stabbed and the titties in there. And it's
No,
like
okay.
crazy. And now, my God, I remember when the Dennis Franz showed his butt on
Oh, NYPD Blue.
NYPD Blue. Yeah. And it's like, oh, they showed a man's butt on TV. And I'm like, a dude, one, a dude. And then two, it's like, and Dennis Franz's fat old ass. Like, he was probably only in his 30s back then, but like,
Oh yeah,
awesome.
because that's one where I even laugh just because David Caruso was on that before CSI Miami. I'm always amazed at how young he looks on that show. And yeah, you're probably, well, it wasn't quite the 80s. Dennis Franz probably was at least in his 40s, I would say, during
I'll see.
that show. Yeah, I'm not looking that one up, but.
He's 81 right now. So he was born in 44. When did NYPD Blue?
Yeah, that's all we need to figure out then.
It was in 83. So he was what, 39?
Oh my God, NYPD Blue was 83?
I'm sorry, 93. Excuse me, I misspoke. 93.
Oh, okay. That's a little bit better. I'm like, oh my Lord,
Oh,
older than I
so he was
thought.
40. He was 49. Huh. Is that right? 93, 44, and then 93. So he was 49 years old. Wow. All right. Yeah. So he's almost 50. Yeah. Crazy. That show ran till 2005. God damn, how are we ever getting to wrestling? So
Well, I
there's no.
tried with the MJF line
Yeah.
there, but we kept
Well,
on talking about other horror
that just
movies
goes to show
instead.
you. Dynamite, I saw people like, hey, the wrestling was good. Sure. None of it mattered except for the women's tag team thing. And I guess the end, but I thought the end was just a foregone conclusion, anyways. So, in case you haven't gotten to it yet. So, I guess we can start with NXT.
Yeah, his not well, Joe is sinking in the coquina clutch on Hook right now. And
Yes.
yeah, we are officially at the end of the show
And
here.
poor Lashley mistimed his cue. So, he had to stand on the apron, look like a fool when he could have got in there and broke it up. He was too fast.
Yeah, he was too fast or Hook was too slow and tapping out. I don't know which is the correct answer for that. Although Lashley was up there for a long time.
Yeah. Well, so did you, all right, I'm not sure if you watched it, if you had the sound on. Did you see Bobby Lashley get mad at Hook? Did you see the clips?
Oh no, I did not.
Okay. So it was earlier in the match. Hook and Bobby Lashley are going at it, which is a funny sentence, you know?
Oh
And
yeah.
Lashley goes to hip toss or back toss him over the top rope, and Hook's supposed to land on the apron. Well, Hook is just going crazy. And he goes to hip toss him, or not hip toss, back bump him.
Yeah.
Hook just does something else. So Lashley, being strong as hell, grabs him and just puts him on the outside, grabs him by the shoulders and goes, calm down. Like yells at him to calm down. And the crowd started laughing, but I'm like, no, that's because he's going too fast. And then Hook was still going, and Lashley just back elbows the hell out of him. And then later on, after that, he actually looks in the camera like, sorry, Taz, like that.
Oh.
Like, so you can still play it as storyline, but that was all real. And I'm sure Taz is like, now do what you gotta do, man. You know?
Oh yeah, Taz does not seem like he would tolerate anything that wasn't run well in a
Yeah.
wrestling sense.
Yeah. I think like he seems like he's probably a real softie, by the way, but I also think that he's a real tough love or, learn it the way I learned it.
Yeah,
So,
that's maybe more the route that I wanted to go to.
yeah. So that match I enjoyed. Ricochet went off in there. My problem, and the outside of one match on this show, not everything was a foregone conclusion. So it's like you knew the Joe thing wasn't going to end. So,
Yeah, they had already started to continue the storyline last week. So yeah, it was pretty hard to not know that the Samoa Joe was going to win this match. Right. Yeah, and I mean the problem with saying that AEW has an enjoyable match is that they always have enjoyable matches.
Yeah, they just don't mean anything
Yeah, that is
until the pay-per-views.
never the part that we complain about.
Yeah. And it's like, why would they go through all this trouble for Hangman and Joe to have their angle if Joe's not going to win? That doesn't make
No.
any sense. And also, like, Hook returning hasn't really done anything since his return. It's the same basic stuff with the AEW. Why is he in the number one contenders match? Like, it doesn't. Why is Ricochet in the number one contenders match as well? I guess you could say the same thing for Lashley, but or Joe. So, you know what? Never mind. Put whoever you want
Yeah, I
in.
mean, you really could say that Joe belongs in the back of the line and not this matchup. Should you want to argue that, since he did, without any chicanery, he took an L to Adam Page already, and more than likely, he's going to take another one.
I've never understood or enjoyed feuds that start after you lose. Like, you already lost. Okay.
Well, yeah, and especially when they can't or probably won't and shouldn't hot potato the title over to Joe. I guess Joe is pretty Teflon at this point. So I guess there isn't too much harm in him losing, but also it's kind of one of those I kind of still expect him to lose the big matches more times than
Yeah,
not at this point.
I mean, especially with Joe talking about how he's on the back end of his career and he's just gonna retire and not tell anybody. And I'm like, oh, is this the exit plan now? Is this like, it's funny for him to bring that up in interviews now, and then all of a sudden he's like in the main event spot. And the problem is, people love Hangman Page. They love Joe just a little bit less. Because, I mean, he comes out, people love cheering for Samoa Joe, even if he's supposed to be the bad guy.
Joe, Joe,
Yeah.
Joe,
I mean,
Joe.
his moves in the ring, he hooked in the Coquina Clutch, and that was it. People started cheering. And it's like,
Well,
no.
he does a bunch of cool stuff. Like everyone, even though I didn't have the sound on, you could see everyone popping for the now pretty much every match spot where he walks away from someone doing a dive.
Yeah. It's like, stop doing cool. Stop being cool. Like it's not the NWO stuff. It's like, if you want to be a heel, he's smart enough to know this too, that you can't keep doing that stuff. But it's also, well, that's Joe. Like, he just seems to me that he's just one of those guys. He's grandfathered. We love this
Oh,
guy. We're not going to
yep.
boo him. Now we're going to cheer for Hangman Page more. But we're still not going to boo Joe. Like, no. Like,
Yeah,
it's a problem of the crowd now. But
he definitely has that syndrome that we've talked about for it. Obviously, we talk about it more with the WWE guys, but he is in that Randy Orton, AJ Styles kind of class where he's been around for so long and he's kicked ass the whole time.
yes.
And yeah, mostly kept the same character. He's just been an ass-kicking character his whole career, from ROH on up. So yeah, he's always been looked at as cool. And he still is because he's the same character that he basically was previously.
Yeah, I mean the only down, not his fault, but remember in TNA he had the face paint and he was carrying around some goofy machete. And even he goes, I come backstage and they're like, here's a knife you get to carry. He goes, what for? Because you get to carry a knife. Whatever, man. Like, just pay me. But I've never understood how Joe didn't work in WWE. I know Vince was in charge, but I just don't get it. He had a banger ass match with Brock Lesnar. How do you not go, all right, that's our guy? But
That part, that was the part that was the most surprising to me. The fact that he did deliver, everyone loved it, and he still didn't really get any bump out of it, which, yeah, was kind of wild to me. It was kind of wild.
But it's nice to see him getting this last run in AEW. It's just an unfortunate circumstance. Like when he won the title, it just felt weird. Like, wait, Joe's the title holder now? Like, okay. And then now that he's in the picture for the top spot, I'm like, okay. So, but we know he's not gonna win. So it's another one of these feuds that's like, okay, whatever. But if they lead to good matches, that's fine. It's just I don't have the faith in them to pull a surprise out and actually have him beat Hangman Page, and then maybe Page just wins it back. Because I know they don't want a hot potato to the title, which is fine. But you're
Yeah.
not really leading to an interesting feud or angle doing this. So,
No, just it's gonna chew up space.
and that's really what Dynamite seems to be doing. Like, can you explain to me? And I'm being dead serious. I don't understand what's going on with Moxley and Kyle O'Reilly. That's two disqualifications in a row to Kyle O'Reilly. Like, this guy's been a goof for years. And Moxley can beat anybody. And now he can't beat this guy? I truly don't understand what's going on here. So I need some help.
I can't really help you. I did laugh when I saw the headline of Kyle O'Reilly feels like he's just finally getting back into the groove after neck surgery 2 years ago. And I'm just like, I guess? Question mark. They've definitely sold him as a good competitor. Well, at least Daniel Bryan, Jiminy Christmas, Bryan Danielson,
All right, good. Glad it rubbed off on
did a lot of the selling this week, for him. And I actually kind of liked him, more this week than I have recently. I don't know if he's finally actually getting used to being out there now. Because I still feel like the whole him being an announcer thing came a little bit out of the blue, and I'm not sure he necessarily had a whole lot of prep. And it's, yeah, one of those things where he's still just kind of developing his announcer personality.
I as long as for me, I like hearing him, but it's always been for the commentary, it's always been disjointed. Because remember when Jim Ross was on there, he was talking about it like it was the old days. And then
Well,
Excalibur's just being a shill. That's his job, right? And then you'd
no,
have
yeah.
Taz trying to play with Excalibur, but then he'd be making jokes. And then you have Tony Schiavone, who was out there for whatever reason. And then Ian Riccaboni was there.
And weirdly, Tim and Taz wouldn't get along sometimes. Like, I don't know what the beef was with Shivani and Taz. Yeah, and I do think that that's helped too, because more times than not, at least on Dynamite, I feel like these last couple of weeks are like it's just Excalibur and Danielson. That's it. And it's just like great. Maybe we can finally get somewhere at this point.
Yeah, they need a continuity, and they actually need like and continuity in people and continuity in theme and direction. And but I guess that's kind of an AEW's problem anyways. you've got
Well.
these goofy angles where, Darby's pulling out a blowtorch or what's his name? Ricochet stabbing people with scissors. And then they're like, oh, coming up next is like, here's a CMLL powerhouse, Senora Mistora. Like, what? Where's this coming from? But, and then they're like, giving the accolades all this. And someone go, yeah, well, you see Ricochet start stabbing someone with scissors. Yes. Oh, what a beautiful hurricanrana off the second. Like, okay. Like, let's get some. I mean, 5 years into a company, they should have figured this out by now, but, it. But I do like Bryan Danielson on commentary because when
Oh.
he doesn't like something, he does one of two things. He goes quiet, or he will point something out subtly. Because I get the feeling he's I've never met him, but I just get the feeling that he can be kind of a smarmy, like smart ass. I get that feeling. I really do. I could be
Yeah,
wrong.
he definitely gives off that vibe, where it's kind of more of a backhanded compliment kind of situation.
Yeah, yes. So, and then he'll also be like
Oh.
calling, he'll be calling moves or talking about accolades and all this. And then they just like go to, hey, don't forget that's a DC Comics Knockouts is available for sale. It's like, why am I even talking to you? Like, so.
But yeah, hold on. What the? Because which matchup were we talking about there?
Kyle O'Reilly and Moxley, who I
Oh,
don't understand. I don't get it.
I was like, hold on. What was the beginning of this whole rant? Because
Yeah.
it was okay to go off-roading, but oh yeah, it's weird. Like I just yeah, O'Reilly is still just too silly. Like I mean, they
Yeah.
did mention him being, and that was one of those things that Danielson did mention. Was how serious he looked on his way to the ring. But it's also like, how many years are we into this? And this is, like, oh, O'Reilly's finally getting serious after being in wrestling for 20 years.
Yeah, but it's also like, well, he was serious when he was part like in different sections. It's just it's
Oh,
been
yeah.
recently, at the end of NXT with him and Von Wagner, then he comes to AEW and he's kind of in this weird position, like Adam
Well,
Cole and all this, and then which by the way, there's been no word on him again, so that can't be good, like. Because he disappeared last time off the face of the earth, and he comes back saying how he was like wanting to like and metaphorically wanting to die from all this stuff and how he couldn't move, and that's like so hopefully, I mean, I don't know if he's doing his streams or not. I don't know. But anyways, back to Kyle O'Reilly. He's in this stupid conglomeration video where it's like a sitcom. And then this goofball is going to come out and fight John Moxley, the champion, who murders people. And Moxley can't beat him? Like, this doesn't make any sense.
Well, and it was also one thing that the announcers did point out, and it's just like, okay, now you're really burying the Death Riders, and this is making things even more awkward. Because they're like, oh, their leader is a coward and he always takes the easy way out. And it's just like, yeah, like, but that's not a good thing for like this hard ass
Yeah.
group.
Well, it's really Moxley's the only hard ass, which I mean, if you want to pivot, we
They've
can talk
tried
about the
to
beginning.
portray everyone else as a hard ass, but unfortunately, again, when you catch that many L's,
Yes.
whether it's Claudio, whether it's Wheeler, because were they both in that match, or is
Daniel,
it
no, Daniel
just
Garcia.
oh, Daniel Garcia, get fuck out of here with him.
Like they said that they pulled up like Excalibur said that, Moxley's had enough of Darby and Orange Cassidy, so he sent his lieutenants out there to deal with them. And it's like Moxley couldn't get the job done. Do you think these bums are gonna get it done? Like I actually think Wheeler's got a cool look going, like little Shaggy Man thing. He's got himself in better shape. And then the junior
Yeah.
high kid comes out with him, and you're like, can you imagine, like, you're watching what's their lead in Big Bang Theory? And then Darby Allin comes out, and you're like, what's this? And Orange Cassidy, you're like, who's this throwback guy? All right. And then those two come out, like, wait, what is this? Click. Like,
Yeah, not a strong. I mean, the funny thing was, I guess I did kind of enjoy the match for the most part. Also, though, we're already starting with using skateboards in wrestling matches to
okay.
start the show off.
It said it was a tornado tag. I
Yeah.
guess that means there was no disqualification, right?
Evidently, that's what that means
Okay,
in
and that,
AEW.
you know what? That's fine.
Yep.
Because one of the funniest spots in this match, Darby Allin's hung upside down. Wheeler Yuta gets on the ropes and stands on his balls. And then Orange Cassidy climbs the ropes slowly to try and do some moves. The entire time, Wheeler is just standing on Darby's balls. And I'm like, can you have some urgency in this case, buddy?
Can you help poor Mr. Allen save his family jewels? Maybe he just thinks that they froze off when he was went up to the top of Mount Everest, and he doesn't need to worry about it anymore.
And then he finally hits the coffin drop on Wheeler, and Daniel Garcia is out of position to break up the pin. So Wheeler Yuta, of all people, kicked out of the coffin drop. I mean, how many times I got to keep bringing this up? No one's gonna listen, but it's also like the story of this Death Riders thing. Moxley's the bad, Claudio's the muscle, Pac's like the enforcer, and they have these two bums. Well, they only had one bum, so now they need two. Because wasn't Daniel Garcia joining them to become better? Wasn't that Wheeler Yuta's whole point? I'm going to be better, and you still stink.
Yeah,
You can't win.
all of the people on the bottom have stayed on the bottom, these groups.
They're in the exact same position as they were when they first got in AEW. Danny Garcia's had that. Orange has had those ups and downs too. Remember when he was the international, was the international champion?
Yes, is
Yeah, and he
international.
was just killing it. Then loses, and that's it.
Yeah, and then he got injured also, and things
Yeah.
have just. I do think that he's fairly popular still, but they have not
Yes.
really rebooted his push, though,
No,
either.
and now we're getting, I guess, a blood and guts with the conglomeration and the Death Riders.
Yep.
I know Chris said, hey, I admire them giving this match away like a week or whatever before, Survivor Series, but okay. So, it's like,
It's the conglomeration better in individual parts than it is together?
I don't know.
Or are the individual parts really that good? I mean, since Kyle O'Reilly and technically, I guess Roderick Strong is part of the group, because I mean, he is.
He's in the video.
That video does make me laugh.
Yes, it's very
I
good.
just
Yes.
wish I actually saw the whole thing. Like, they pan out to see the entrances for the wrestlers themselves entirely too early, as far as I'm concerned. I want to see like a whole 3 minute intro, like I would in an 80s show.
Yeah, see, I think that's the problem is that video is like 3 minutes or whatever. It is an intro to a TV show, but I don't want them taking 2.5 minutes to walk down to the ring. You know, get your ass in the ring.
Well, and to me that it, to me that's where the problem is exactly, though, where they actually do get down to the ring in fairly short order, so you don't see the whole thing. It's just
Yeah.
like, why did you spend the time to do this if you're not gonna feature it in some way? Like,
Viral moments.
even if it's just the first time that you show it, you know what I mean? Like, show it the full way through, and then you start doing like most commercials do, where it's just like, oh, okay, that used to be a 45-second ad. We're shortening it to 30 seconds, and you just see what happens to it. It's just like, yeah, do the shortening part later.
Yeah, I'm looking to see. Okay, so Conglomeration Boulevard came out a week ago. It is 2 minutes and 34 seconds, and
Okay.
it has, well, whenever YouTube decides to load up, Jesus, 33,000 views. That's it. That's kind of crazy. I thought it'd have more. 33,290 views, and 2,400 likes. So
Yeah, that is YouTube likes to views.
Yeah, it's typical. So,
Yeah, pretty typical.
yeah, but no, it's like, okay, so they do it for viral stuff. They do it to get clicks, you know, make money that way. Cool. I'm sure it was a big hit on Instagram and TikTok and whatever else. You know, that's why they do that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So, but yeah, it's like, but it's them versus three badasses and the other two.
And two bums.
Yeah, so it's like, okay.
Yeah,
I'm guessing Daniel Garcia, one of them's going to eat the L. I mean,
and they've got two bums on their own team too, so
well,
because
isn't
Kyle
well,
O'Reilly and Roderick Strong's kind of a bum too. Like, he's not
doesn't
presented as a
win.
bum, and he wins at least every now and again, so he's not in quite a bad a shape as those two,
Yeah.
but
I'd say the
not in a great spot.
conglomeration as a group has more winners than the Death Riders do.
Yeah,
Think
because
about
even
it.
Pac and Claudio don't win.
Well, Pac doesn't lose very often, so that's why it's a big deal
Oh,
when he does. Here's the
yeah.
problem. He doesn't wrestle very often for
Yeah,
whatever reasons. So,
there
you
have
know.
been various and sundry reasons that man has not wrestled.
He is a case study in what if. He really is. Because
Oh.
his entire AEW career has been so up and down, in and out. Like here, I'm here and I'm like focused, and now I'm gone and no one knows why I'm gone. It's a very bizarre career. And I like him a lot too. I think this new looks even cooler because he just looks like a little demon now instead of a gargoyle or whatever. But I know there's like other stuff on the
Yeah,
show too,
it would have
but
been interesting to see him if he had gotten into the Triple H led WWE. Like, that
it
definitely would have been a different situation.
yeah, it really would have. Because I mean, look what they're doing with Dragunov now. They can't be that much different in height.
I would
And
imagine that he's probably taller.
you
Not
think
by a
Drag
lot.
Okay. You think Dragunov's taller?
No.
Okay. Well, now I gotta look. I was gonna say Dragunov. I was gonna say Dragunov's taller, but
yep.
I mean they're both little badasses. He's 5'10". Wow, he's 5'10"? Wow. Okay.
Oh, who, Dragunov?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then Pac is 5'8". All right.
Okay.
I'm
Yep.
surprised. All right, here's the thing. That's why it's like a land of giants, man. 5'8's not bad. You know, 5'10" definitely isn't. That's almost 6 foot. But then you get around the bunch of guys that are 6'4" and you look minuscule. You know? It's
Hey,
like
I know what it's like to be 5'9" around someone who's 6'2", sir.
yeah, well.
So
Yes. So
There is a difference. There is a real difference
Yeah,
there.
especially for TV, just adding whatever TV weight and, camera tricks. But it's as we all know, a 5'8" guy can knock the bejesus out of a guy that's 6'7". So, or whatever. So it's like that's why wrestling's great. If you play it upright, it don't matter. So now, and Andre, a giant size, maybe not, but I know we there's other stuff on here, so
Other match, at least, Young Bucks versus FTR versus Jurassic Express versus Jet Speed for the AEW tag team titles at Full Gear.
who are the tag champs? Is it
Brodito still the tag team champion.
okay? So that would explain why Jurassic Express didn't win.
Yeah.
So, but it's also like everybody who comes in hot, they come back, the crowd reacts. All right, yep. Well, we got a really popular tag team champions. We can't have two faces go against each other. Well, what do you want to do? Do you want to leave Jurassic Express out of this? Oh, no. We're just gonna have them win though. What? Oh, okay. It's so. And now, why Jurassic Express is like hot right now, I really don't know. Like, Jack Perry was hated, and Luchasaurus was a bad guy.
Everyone
Okay.
likes them. Everyone likes the music. They just wanted to do the Jungle Boy wave again, sir.
That's very true, and that music is catchy,
It is pretty catchy.
So,
Yeah,
yeah,
because
fine match, whatever. FTR
yeah.
won. Cool.
FTR ends up winning, so yeah, they're the ones to take them on. Also, as it happened. Later in the night here, and I did get to hear the sound. I am all for more of Bandido's grandma. She is better on the mic than half of their roster.
Probably better than Bandito. No,
Yeah.
I think that stuff's cool. And we don't know much about Bandito other than he's the guy with the mask. He puts on probably AEW's best matches, but we don't hardly see him. And now he's in this badass tag team. So yeah, I'm all for stuff like that. It's just funny. Being able to use a real life situation like that and use it in the show is pretty smart. So
And those ones always seem to work out for whatever reason. Bring in grandma or grandpa or dad from, I guess I'm thinking Chile for Stephanie Vaquer recently,
yes.
or this one now where it's some at least moderately far-flung place.
Yes.
Those situations seem to work out pretty well.
Yeah.
One thing that we can talk about if we want to is the old Don Callis Family Summit.
These aren't good. Like, is this on purpose that they're this bad? And did you see what I was talking about in the message? I'd feel bad for Okada if he wasn't getting paid major money. He just looked like I'm above this. Or you should be. Yeah, and you should be, by the way. So, but
It's one of those feuds where because neither guy's talking, it's a really weird feud.
yeah.
Don Callis is the only one talking for the most part. You just know that Takeshita doesn't like Okada. Okada doesn't like Takeshita. I mean, they've done that fairly well within the context of just wrestling matches and whatnot.
And
But it's
honestly, I mean, the way they handled it's pretty good. Depending on what Okada we get, I think this would be pretty good.
Oh
And
yeah, whenever they have the match, it'll be awesome. Again, that's never the problem with AEW. It's just like, why are these two in this family, if you can't at least get them on the same page for some amount of time? Like I always find that weird. You know, there
Yeah.
should always be some harmonious time before things turn sour again.
Yeah, I mean, they haven't really even explained why Okada and Takeshi don't like each other. You know, I guess because Takeshi is the up and comer and he wants to put the veteran out. I don't know. Like,
Yeah,
no.
that's kind of been implied, but never really said out loud.
Yeah. But yeah, but no, this whole segment was just what a waste of time. The painting thing is not fun anymore. I felt
No.
bad for Lance Archer. A guy his size should not be shown sitting down, and is sitting down in a folding chair that is way too close to the ground. His leg, I mean, he it's his all aesthetics to hide that, put his legs under the table, move somebody else. I don't know who was on that side, but it's like,
Put Rocky Romero in that spot.
well, yeah,
Yeah,
well,
I
he
don't
was
know which
standing,
side
but
he was
yeah.
on,
But it's also at the same
but
time, they don't see anything in Lance Archer anymore, then why should I care? You know?
oh
Like
yeah,
that thing's
Lance
passed.
Archer is he's toast.
Oh yeah.
That's
Yeah.
that is never happening.
Yeah. Mark Davis looks like a doofus just sitting there. Like they've never addressed him and Kyle Fletcher, like being in the Don Callis family and like now getting along. 'Cause before Fletcher was like, yeah, I don't need you, whatever else. And
Well, they actually had more of a hatred for each other than Takeshita
yeah.
and Okada, like a known one, maybe I should also say. You know, they definitely had a known hatred for each other. And yeah, I feel like they might have said something before Mark Davis got injured, right after he got into the Don Callis family. Sometimes it's worth the announcers bringing these things back up, though, and reminding all of us.
Yeah.
And
It.
that does not happen with the AEW's announce crew. Even if it's better, they are definitely lacking some support that the WWE announcers definitely get.
Yeah. Well, but what else is on this? I like the Don Callis thing, but Okada's just sitting there. It's just like, oh, I feel bad he's in this. But,
Yeah,
oh,
because we talked about O'Reilly and Moxley already.
oh, there was what's her name? Statlander, Mercedes Moné got in a fight, and
Yep.
then Athena comes down, helps her out, and then Willow and
Harley Cameron.
yeah, come out, and they don't actually address, Statlander didn't address Willow yet, so I guess that's gonna come. I'm guessing.
Yeah, they did. It again, at least to give some credit to the announcers in this case, they did mention that
Yeah.
that there is still some unresolved animosity between those two.
Yeah. And that I appreciate. So thank you.
Yep.
Yeah. I know. Then we have the women's tag match.
Yep. Julia Hart and Sky Blue ended up
So
beating Jamie Hayter and Queen Aminata.
I was shocked. This is the only match on this card. I was like, wait, what? Even the crowd, I think, was surprised. Like they've treated them as jobbers since they've come back. Now all of a sudden they're winning a tag team match, like over Jamie Hayter and well, Queen Amidala, whatever, but they haven't really done anything with her. So
No, she's gotten some TV time, but they haven't really done anything real positive with her on the AEW show, at least.
No.
So was not completely surprised that she was the one that officially ate the L and not Hayter.
Yeah.
But yeah, you did kind of a, I did assume that the vast majority of super teams were going to get the W's in this
Yes.
tournament, and this was one super. I don't, you know, that I think I put this. Chris and I might have talked about this on Tuesday. I think this is a super team that I'm using the quotation marks for. There were actual super teams like Monet and Athena. And then Jamie Hayter and Queen Aminata are super
Yeah.
teams. But yeah, this one was a little bit of a surprise to me that the Sisters of Sin got the dub.
Yeah, which is good. I mean, you got to do something with them. You can't keep having like the not the enforcers, but you can't keep having the underlings constantly losing. It adds no appeal and no interest. So, you got to do something.
Heel's got to win some of the matches, or most of the matches,
Yeah.
honestly.
Just something,
Yep.
so.
Did not get to hear this, but evidently he, poor Penelope Ford, injured yet
Yeah.
again.
I thought that looked bad last week, so that's not a surprise at all.
Marina Shafir is now going to be Megan Bain's tag team partner. I don't know if this changes her real fortunes in the end or not, to be quite honest with you, because let's see. I'm actually on the page. Wiki did update. I wouldn't be surprised if Bane and Shafir beat Tay. They are up against Tay J there, Tay Mello and Anna J. Would be kind of surprised if they beat Toni Storm and Mina Shirakawa, though, because I in no way see Alex Windsor and Riho moving on from the first round.
No, I think is it Riho's probably like finishing up her hey, I showed up tour. So
Her 2 months that she shows up for AEW once a year and then leaves again, and we're supposed to treat her as something special.
yeah, she comes in, loses, leaves. Cool. So
Fantastic. So yeah,
yep.
I don't see a very long
No.
teaming for Bane and Shafir, but
No.
it will happen here now.
No. We did forget about the Hangman surprise at the end.
Oh,
Sure. They played the long game with it because I thought t poor Tony Schiavone, he had to know he looked stupid all night. But they're like, "No, this is for the angle at the end of the show." Oh. Okay.
Well, going back to your horror movie take, Phantom of the Opera, front
Yeah,
and
they
center.
were both better than the guy I watched. I mean, I don't even care about looking up his name. That movie was beautiful, by the way. I do have to give it credit. It is gorgeous. It's really crazy pretty. So now we can go to NXT.
Oh, Trick Williams, stirring the pot to start the show. Him and Ricky Williams get into a fight to start the show, and quite frankly, this almost seemed like a Peter and the Chicken kind of a
You mean
fight.
Ricky Saints?
Oh, I keep on
Said
doing
Ricky
that.
Williams. I was like, what?
Oh, did I say? Oh, I assumed I said Ricky Starks. Good
No,
Lord.
you
That's
see
even
that
worse that I said Ricky
you just said
Williams.
Ricky. Yeah. And
Yeah,
it's Ricky Saints now.
I know. That's
Okay. All
why I thought I
right.
screwed up and said Starks, but Williams is worse than Starks. Like, if I'm thinking about the old NFL running back slash Texas running back, that's oof. Oh boy. Oof, worse than calling him by his last ring name. But yeah, him and Saints and Williams, the trick version, end up basically fighting throughout the whole show. They really tied this whole thing together,
That
even
building
including
is
the
what?
main event.
Yeah, that building's what, 1,000 square feet? Are you telling me you can't get those two under control? Like, come on.
I always kind of laugh when even the small guy can't be held back. No offense. It does seem to be that Ricky Saints is on the old WWE diet here.
Yep. Yeah, good for him.
And good for him. But he's still working on packing on the weight here. So he's still the smaller of the two guys. Trick Williams is a fairly large gentleman.
Yeah, and that's what he's going to do quite well when he goes up. So,
But
yeah.
yeah, that was fun, and it did get something. a little more hopping for that matchup. That did not have a lot going for it.
Yeah, I'm just trying to figure out why they're dragging this out still. You know, like, I guess Trick
Oh.
isn't, I guess it's maybe they're dragging it out so that he's going to be a surprise in the Royal Rumble, but I don't see why Trick is still in NXT. But I guess to sell the next show or whatever, you know. So
Speed tournament still
I
continuing.
don't care. I don't care. Jasper Troy won. Next. And we're done. Skip him.
Was killing me that Ava just being utterly bitchy and going, "Hey, soul. Do you want someone to defend his belt again?" And looking at Zarya, only
Yeah.
for Sol to be like, "Nah, fuck that. I'd rather just give up the
Okay.
championship."
All right. I think you already know what I'm gonna say. Like, Soul's the bad guy, right? Like, that's a bitch move. Like, I she didn't come up short because she got bested. She came up short because she was helping your dumbass who can't protect herself. Like, why are you at ringside? And then, you know, she helps distract Zarya or distract the referee. Blake Leroux
Oh,
cheats to win, and that's my fault? Like, keep
I
your
forgot.
crippled
Holy
ass in
shit.
back.
I kind of forgot about that part.
Yeah.
Well, I forgot that we had a PLE this past Saturday, honestly, that could have been covered in this year podcast.
Yeah,
Because I did, honestly, I was thinking more about NXT itself. And because I was trying to remember exactly what did happen during that match.
yeah, that's
Oh no. Okay. Because this is, you're gonna, I can't believe you're arguing the Shahid part here. You know what? She should have been back in the ring. I'm sorry. Zarya should have been back in that ring. She shouldn't have been able to,
Oh.
Blake Monroe should not have been able to take advantage of it. Sol Ruka's like, "Yeah, I'm fine. Don't worry about it. Get back in the
Yeah,
ring."
there
And
is that
then
part, yeah.
Zarya spends like another 30 seconds to a minute
Yeah.
just like, "Are you sure you're okay?" And she's like, "Yeah, I'm fine." It's like she's treating her like she's a referee, you know? And I mean, I guess it's a problem. Well, no, I shouldn't say it's a problem in all of wrestling because normally, when they used to do that, you know, when we were younger, it was like Miss Elizabeth got knocked over. Granted, she got like maybe sideswiped and she acted like she was murdered.
Yes. Well, that's when back when females were inferior and very weak at WWF.
Right. Yeah, I know that there's some uneven terrain that I'm
Yeah.
using for comparisons here. But Sol Ruka is a bona fide champion. She should know if she's okay or not. You know, and I guess that's really the point that I'm getting around to. If she's like, "Nah, dog, I got this." Like, she just kind of kicked the cane out. And I mean, that's the other thing that is still making this situation to me that it got weirder on NXT because they're like, "Hey, I don't have the crutch now." Like, it's only like 4 days later.
Yeah.
I'm like, how injured are you that you only have a knee brace? Like, I'm not trying to accuse it, you know, like it's not one of those, "Hey, I don't think you're really injured." Like, it would seem like she's at least injured enough that they feel like they shouldn't have her wrestle. You know what I mean? Like, I think that part is pretty crystal clear. But it's also like if it's that soon, like they've let other champions slide longer than this.
Yeah.
Like, so that's the other thing that's just kind of weird about the situation. Like, it seems like if you're talking, "Oh yeah, I just need to get through the rehab," I'm not thinking like she's going to be in rehab for 3 months for, you know, this level of unspecified injury.
Yeah. Well, but the whole thing is like we talked about this last week too, about the whole like going outside when she got hurt. Like, she's a wrestler. What are
Yeah.
you worried about, you know? And so, yeah. So, I mean, I agree with you on that too. But it's like,
Yeah.
just to look at it like, ugh, no, I would rather give this belt away than let her defend it. That is crazy bitchy.
Yes.
You know, that's where I'm going. Like, if I'm
I agree.
Zarya, I kind of hope Zarya
She
wins it, even though it's a stupid speed title. So, but.
that would be kind of interesting to have her be in the tournament and win because they have not made that part clear. But it would be kind of funny if she ended up winning it and then her and Sol end up having to fight over it.
Yeah.
Because, and I mean, I did not blame Zarya at all when she's like, oh, fuck off. And she left
Yeah.
that interview. She's just like, okay, yep, I see how this is gonna, I see how you're doing me dirty here. I'm walking
Yeah.
out on you. And it's just like,
Yeah.
that is the appropriate response.
Yeah. And so it's like, I don't know. To me, Saul's the bad one, but also because Zarya's got too kind of a heart. You know? You don't pick on the person who's too kind. And that's what Saul's doing. But I'm sure it's gonna be Zarya, like I said last week. Zarya is gonna be the one we're supposed to be like, oh, she's so bad to her. Like, she lost her titles. Like, okay. But again, yeah, like 2 days later, hey, how's your knee? You're gonna defend that title or what? Like, what do you think? Like, no. So
I guess speaking of defending titles, that was really the theme of this show. And something that, again, this is a weird and interesting spot that they've already put her in. And it's something that I guess does extend back to Halloween Havoc itself. After having one champion that seemingly comes out of the blue and wins, JC Jane, we get a title change with pretty much the same exact scenario where Tatum Paxley ends up winning it, and then she defends the championship that night against Lola Vice. Granted, obviously things got a little bit shady in that match.
Yeah. And just I'm hoping they don't drag this Izzy Dane turn out any longer than it needs to be.
Oh my,
Like,
yeah.
I did think there was one part that really did make me laugh was she reveals the wheel because everyone's complaining there was no spin the wheel anymore for Halloween Havoc. And as soon as she does it, Shawn Spears goes, "Your name's not up there, Izzy." Like, you little fucking snitch. Keep your mouth shut. She goes, I know. Like,
And
wow.
how quick did they read all those names? Like,
Yeah.
I'm not
That
sure I would
font.
have got with that font from inside the ring. Like, you guys really have some good eyesight
No, they
there.
were next to it. No, they were
Oh,
next
were
to it.
they next to
Yeah,
it?
yeah, yeah,
Okay.
yeah. But it's still like, and they also were watching in typical WWE fashion from like the side. So, yeah. It would have been funnier though if like her name was on there, and then she's like, oh, and she goes, oh no, it's on here. I'll make sure she's on, you know, like show she's a good friend or whatever, and make what's his name look stupid.
Oh, Spears.
Yeah.
Yeah, but hey, we're friends. We're never gonna fight. Poor Paxley, gonna get walloped one of these days.
Yeah. And I think that's a smart thing too, because this crowd loves her. It'll make Izzy Dane be even far more hated. Because the crowd really doesn't like her. And it's not in like a go away part. But I was kind of with JC Jane, like, boy, what the hell are you doing? Like, I got screwed on my title and you're doing this stuff? Like, okay. So, but it's also a very odd feud because you've
She didn't
got,
get screwed out of her title, though. That was the only problem I had with that argument.
well, Izzy Dane came in and tried to hit, well, somebody with a title, distracts her, she gets hit, and then Tatum Paxley just hits her, you know?
Finisher.
Yeah, because they came back down to ringside.
Oh, yeah.
So yeah, I mean,
There were some shenanigans involved, I
yeah.
guess.
And that was my thing with that match. Why throw people out if you're just going to go, hey, you're not supposed to be here? Like, it's just that sloppy wrestling stuff. But anyways, it's just
Oh,
an it's
what?
a
Oh, go ahead.
well, it's just an odd feud because you have three women versus two men and two women. So, you
Yeah.
know.
Yeah. The numbers are a little uneven, and especially when it's pretty obvious already that one of the women's getting kicked out of the calling at some juncture.
Yeah.
What's going on here? Like it's a really weird setup.
Yeah, it
So yeah,
absolutely is.
three
So,
on two, but it's more of a three on one versus one.
yeah. And the thing is, like, it's very, to me, it's very clear, like, how much above everybody else, like, Fallon and JC Jane are, just presence alone. Like, Izzy Dane's still working through stuff. Tatum's got her, her goofy goth kid thing.
Yeah, I like her job,
Yeah.
but she just hasn't had a lot of camera time that's been alone, I want to say. Like, I know that she's been playing with the dolls alone, but she's almost always had someone, whether it's Lyra or Izzy, to play off of, and they haven't really handed her the mic to, do a lot of talking.
Right. Yeah, and that's why I think the title one came out of the blue, but it's also JC Jane's did too. And it did her
Well,
wonders.
yeah,
So
but that's what I mean. It to me, it's really strange that they've basically done the same turn or the same storyline back-to-back championships.
yeah.
One of the other championship matches that happened earlier that, quite frankly, I was shocked in some ways by the outcome. I am lost on what the WWE thinks of Lash Legend.
Yeah, I don't get it either. Unless that's her swan song and she's leaving with Trick. But I don't get it at all. I don't know. Well, didn't we have this conversation? They've got too many big athletic black women. I'm being dead serious. I mean, maybe I'm still stuck in their old way, but
Oh,
you've got
right,
one
where
on
you can.
Raw and we got one on SmackDown. One slot for each person. As stupid as that sounds.
And Bianca still isn't even a factor in that
Yeah,
conversation.
what happened? Like, her hand injury was that bad?
And I have talked about that last week, I want to say. And yeah, we're still both like, I don't understand what's going on here at this point. Like,
Yeah.
if bones heal at a certain rate. That's why it's better to break a bone for the most part than to, tear a ligament, because Lord only knows how long that's actually going to take to heal. Bone recalcifies at a certain percentage, and you just kind of know when it's going to be done.
But that was
I'm lost.
WrestleMania.
Yeah, it truly lost on what happened to Bianca. But yeah, I don't, I just for a minute do not get. This is one where, oh, I think both of us talk about it. Don't put her in that position. Like, why are you putting Lash Legend? If you have any hopes for her, why is she in this position whatsoever?
Yeah, I'm trying to see.
Got
I'm trying to see when Bianca was last around.
nothing.
Because wasn't she a
Well,
she was a special referee for something. And then that was
yeah.
it after that too.
Yeah, 'cause she, yeah,
Man.
she came back out when she was still injured. 'Cause was she in a match for or a referee for a Jade and Naomi match?
Maybe.
Or maybe a women's tag team match, something like along those lines. But yeah, I was looking for the next thing up as far as NXT goes, and Tavion Heights versus Miles Bourne.
All right, well, Belair, apparently, if you follow her on social media, has been showing like her progress.
Okay.
But I mean, it's a broken finger. I don't, I mean, unless it's like, who was the guy that was in the playoffs that had like the pins in his hand and all that stuff? Rich Gannon? Way back
Oh,
when?
maybe
Or he played for the Chiefs, right?
quarterback.
Yeah. And he had like pins and stuff. Maybe that's it.
Yeah, Rich
So,
Gannon played for a lot of people.
yeah, I did. But yeah, but Miles Bourne, Tavion Heights, sure, whatever. It's like just marred by interference. So,
Tatum and Lola. And this did end up working out. I did think to myself, how are we going to end this thing without Jordan Grace being a complete chump? We somewhat got our answer here in that Kalani Jordan doing her full heel turn on NXT TV instead of TNA TV, I suppose. Whack title square between the eyes. To me, that means continuation of this feud.
I
Also
don't
means
want
that
this to continue.
Jordan Grace is eating another L in the near future.
Yeah, and also we talked about last week. This is a step backwards anyways. You left TNA to go to NXT. And here you are in NXT that you can't win a title. You're not getting anywhere. So they put you in a position to try and win the title that you've held countless times, and that
This
doesn't
was going to be
matter.
her fourth reign, sir.
Okay. So whoop-de-doo. And now you can't do that. I mean, what's next? I mean, I guess a heel turn, which is what she desperately needs to do anyway. Anyways, you know,
We have
we
backed,
talked about
not
this.
we,
So,
the WWE has backed her into a corner at this point.
yeah, and it just needs to happen. I mean, it's ridiculous. I don't like she came in. It's like her, they didn't come at the same time, but her and Zarya kind of came in at the same sort of time. Where other people came in and they just got lost.
They came in right after Julia and Stephanie Vaquer, and they really got lost in the sauce. Even though they had stuff to do, they still were a little bit lost and not in the main event picture, so.
And Jordynne Grace, I mean, she probably should have just gone to the main roster, but where was she going to go anyways? There's a lot of women on the main roster that don't do anything. So, yeah. But no, I knew she wasn't going to win, but at least she got hit with a belt. You know, it's something. It's not clean. But man, I don't know what they do with her unless you turn her into a bad guy and she wrecks through the division. Like just wrecks everyone. And keep her away from Blake Monroe, obviously. But after that, like that's the only redeeming thing I can see. Or get her ass to the main roster, you know, enough.
They have, like I said, backed themselves into a corner.
Yeah.
So,
I know Dark State was on the show. Oh, they were bullying Javon. That's right.
yeah, they did the anonymous segment. I did buzz past
Yes.
that one.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, it's one thing that I keep on forgetting about is Leon Slater from Australia.
I can't remember.
Because I keep on hearing that accent and I keep on going, I forget this man is not from the United States. Or at least I think he's not for English. Okay. Bradford, England. Yeah, I
That's
keep on
England.
hearing
Okay.
that English accent. I'm just like, huh?
Yeah.
I was not ready for that to
Well,
come out. Plus, the fact that he is like the English version of Javon makes it even wilder. Where they both kind of have these weird, and yeah, weird slash unique ways of talking.
It's funny watching him and Javon, and I know like some people didn't like the match with him and or them and Mr. Iguana and
Oh, La Parca.
La Parca, but you just watch it and you go, these guys are both dynamic at that young of an age. And once, like, I know they've been wrestling a while too, but they're so dynamic that one that young of an age that it's like, man, if they play their cards right, those two are going to make so much money.
Yep.
You know, there's because Javon's kind of lanky, but he ain't short,
Oh,
so he'll
yeah.
be able to like at least
Because,
head to head, you know.
Leon Slater is listed as 6'1" on the old wiki. And I feel like he's in the neighborhood of Javon Evans.
Yeah, so it's like it's fun seeing like people of the future, and I to go back to that the PLE, they need to get Mr. Guan on regular TV just for money making aspect. I don't know if he's a bad guy or not because he acts awful cocky for a guy that dresses and acts like a lizard and throws a puppet around, you know?
It is mostly in mixed tag team matches.
Yes. So I don't know if I've ever seen him in a singles match.
Yeah.
So there's that. So, but I like him, so it doesn't matter.
Yep. Yep.
He's
Okay.
benefited from the WWE influence too. When before
Oh.
WWE came along, he was kind of listless in the ring doing stuff. And now he's got way more facial expressions, or maybe they're just capturing it better. So,
Uh-oh.
but yeah.
Yeah.
So I
Since I
know we
didn't
probably
really
miss.
watch AAA for quite a while there, I'm not going to rate that one way or the other.
Yeah. I know we probably
Couple
missed
other
something,
small
but
things.
you know, whatever.
Who
Like
cares?
the show was just a carryover to their next whatever Rings of Gold or whatever they're calling about it tournament.
Oh no, is Deadline the next one, or are they got something in between now and Deadline?
No, I thought it was that MSG thing.
Oh yeah, the Gold Rush or whatever they're doing.
Yeah. So they're gonna have like two.
Yeah,
Yeah.
because what, it's the November 18 and 25 back to back weeks
Yes.
there around Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
That's right.
So be interesting.
Yep.
But we'll see.
Pretty sure I didn't see a bell time beer on your end.
No, not this week.
Since tomorrow is the day that it is, we are going to be traveling down to the Cincinnati area. So I thought I would talk about a Cincinnati beer, Sonder Brewing Otto OTTO, a double tiramisu stout brewed with a local coffee called Script Coffee. This beer was pretty goddamn delicious. Yeah, it kind of tasted like tiramisu, and I do love myself some Italian desserts. 11% alcohol, and not surprising, does contain lactose. They're out of Mason, Ohio, actually, and not Cincinnati proper. So, should you happen to go to Kings Island, Sonder Brewing is not too far away, and has A, delicious beer, B, delicious food. So, should one want to visit all three of those items, they are right down there near the Cincinnati area. So that is the Bell Time beer suggestion from Matt DeFrango 11. He is at Granny Maze. The brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. But you can also download us at places like iHeartRadio and YouTube Music. Have a good night, grandkids.
Not again.